I was talking to a friend of ours in the US this afternoon, and she's moving on in age, bless her. She's 10 years older than me, so she must be moving on in age.
Over 21 then.
Yeah, she's over 21. And we were chatting about healing and things like that. And she said to me, I can't understand why Christians cannot believe in healing.
In what?
Healing.
Oh.
I said, I know what you mean. And we were sharing various things. We were sharing Tracy, etc., and others. And told her about the website. She said, oh, send me the link, so I've got that to do. And she was telling me about a lady that had been diagnosed 5 years ago with, I think she said ME in the States. MS, was it?
You told me MS.
Well, it was either ME or MS. I can't. It started with M and it ended with an S or an E.
Well,
I'm not sure which one it is.
You don't want
it was multiple things.
They're both basically both most incurable and nasty, aren't they?
Yeah.
And this lady had been prayed for quite a while, and anyway, after the diagnosis, 5 years later, a specialist came over from Europe, and she went to see him, and he's turned round, having examined her and gone through various tests, he said, you haven't got it.
Yes.
And so that's what, you know, these Christians have been praying for, said, yes, praise God, you see, you've got a great healer. Then she met some other people who turned round and said, well, I think you ought to sue that doctor that diagnosed you with it. It's like, you know, it's just absolute craziness. And she said, she was telling me that she was at one church and the minister, they had a new minister come to take over the church, and he began to tell them what he didn't believe in out of the Bible, and what was he didn't believe in, healing and various things. And he said, when he'd finished, he said, and if you don't agree with me, don't like it, you'll go somewhere else. So she just said, well, goodbye, I'm going. You know, the church today has lost its power. It's losing its glory. And we're into Revelation, where it talks about you've become lukewarm.
Mm.
And it says God's going to do something.
Mm.
And he's going to spew them out of his mouth. And they're not going to be welcome in his presence. Yeah, because they're not children of the kingdom. No matter what badge you wear, the badge does not make you a disciple. It says, by your fruit you'll be known. And if you're not bringing forth fruit, and the word tells us signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of the gospel. And I'm going to preach that and preach that and preach that until I die. Because that's what I believe. That's what the book says, and I can't cut that bit out. And I'm not cutting any of it out. So
it's sounding more like Joyce Meyer every day, because that's what she says.
Cannot cut it out. I've said it for years. There's people cutting bits out, saying, oh, I can't agree with that, don't believe that. Well, chuck it away, all of it.
Mm.
Either believe all or don't believe any of it. Don't be lukewarm. Just because we don't always understand it, that does not mean you don't believe it.
No.
Just because we don't understand it, we can't just throw it away. Because let's be honest, we don't do that in the natural, do we?
No.
We use things every day. We don't understand how they work. We don't say, well, I can't understand how this works, so I'm going to chuck it away.
No,
I can't understand
it,
how a computer works.
Yeah.
Or electricity. But it does a job that it should be made to do, sort of thing. So you just get on with it and do it. But when it comes to the word, I've got to know it inside out, the end from the beginning, and it's like, no.
We had this exact same thing again last night.
Oh, do you mean?
Bloke says he doesn't believe that God parted the Red Sea, just think it's the way tide were flowing at that time, and wind.
Wow, that was a mighty miracle, wasn't it?
It was explained to him that it's a miracle. You know, just because you can't understand it or you weren't there, don't mean to say it didn't happen.
You know, when they come up with stories like that, Bill, you've got to then start thinking outside their box, right? And you've got to start having this picture. Okay, we'll accept their doctrine at this point in time. So this wind comes and it dries it all up, basically, and all these 2 million people cross over this Red Sea, right? How is it that when the Egyptians managed to follow him, they all got drowned? You know, that was real bad timing, weren't it?
That's fantastic timing, weren't it? By tide. Tide came in and it went out.
Pharaoh really stitched it up, didn't he? A bit, you know.
Yeah, so, should check weather forecast, shouldn't he, before he comes out?
Should have been on BBC Weather and checked it out first, like. But, you know, this is how ludicrous it is, you see. I mean, I've told you, probably told you this before, you might remember it, you might not, some have never heard it probably, but I once went to school and we're doing assemblies. And this girl stopped afterwards and said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah." And she started talking about Christian things. And she'd got a half a faith, shall we say. She was going to church, I think, in that one. And she said, "Well, our RE teacher tells us that the area that the children of Israel crossed was just a bit of a swampy area, and there were only a few inches of water. And that's how they got across." And of course, my mind, Len, came outside the box again, you see. And I stood from a distance and thought, wow, can you imagine that? There's these fighting men with the chariots, strong men, and they end up drowning in 2 or 3 inches of water. You know, and I said this to her, you see. I said, "Do you know," I said, "that makes my God even bigger than what I thought he was. That he could actually drown a military army in 2 or 3 inches of water." I said, "My God must be fantastic." She looked at me, she went, "I see what you mean." Like, you know, and this is it, you see. The pedal, this sort of doctrine, has been absolutely right, and yet they haven't thought it through to the end. You know, and then they say, "Ah, well, what you're saying about, you know, faith and everything." They ain't got no faith, but they're peddling something that they've tried to think up an excuse because it makes them feel good. They don't have to then face a God.
It's like what you said, though. what some of these modern smartphones can do are as unbelievable as that, but they don't doubt that. They've got faith in that thing. I suppose the only good thing you can say to these people who come in, they're bringing their skepticism into church rather than just talking to us out in the street. I mean, they come every Tuesday night with this doubt and unbelief, but they're listening to church while they're doing it. So they are probably starting to grow gradually.
Yeah, hopefully,
A long way to go, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to keep sowing seeds of faith into them. That's what you've got to do. And when they come up with statements like that, you sort of say, well, you know, amazing. God can drown a fighting force in 2 or 3 inches of water. The chariot wheels fall off. Pharaoh had a crack army. Pharaoh had conquered the most of the nations around, right? He weren't some beat up Tuppence-halfpenny army that with wheels ready to fall off. They were absolutely a crack force. You know, they were, in their day, they were today's SAS type thing, commandos. That's what he sent after them. So to turn around and say that this about, well, you know, it just does not measure up. Can't measure up. And this thing at tide, well, that was a bad judge, weren't it? Yeah, no, don't sit with me. The Bible seems to, you know, as a more believable story, than that one, actually. Yeah. So, yeah.
So we're going to talk about some more incredible things that God's
done. Are you?
Yeah.
I could tell you a story similar to what you were saying about this American woman. Is you last weekend, my sister got a letter from hospital saying that she's got low blood count and white cells are this, that, and something else, and her liver's shot and one thing and another, and it's looking like she's not got long to go. And she's worried, did wonders for a weekend, that, you know, she's really worried, you know, thinking she's getting liver cancer, one thing and another. And I just prayed for her. I said, "I know she's not going to receive this, Lord, but can it be done anyway?" You know, virtually saying that, you know. one dish he has to, the centre for some more tests, and tests come back, so there's no wrong with your blood and your liver's perfect.
Yes! Oh, keep going, Bill. Do it, do it, do it.
So, yes. Can you actually pray healing onto somebody who doesn't even know to receive it?
Yeah. Well, it's your faith there.
Is that my faith rather than hers?
Yeah, it is your faith in operation at that point in time.
But when she comes to understand faith, then I think it's more on the son.
We did that last week with that man at Carpenter's Arms, didn't we? We didn't know him, sure, but we prayed for him, and he's come through. He's got out of that critical, didn't he?
You know, I think what we've got to focus in on is, like, you know, you prayed for your sister, and God's moved on your behalf.
You had faith, even though
he's moved on your behalf because he sees your heart, and at the same time, it's an opportunity to give, you know, hopefully that your sister at some stage will have enough time and decides to accept the Lord and come back to
God's
come back to faith,
mercy.
You see. And like the guy at Carpenter's Arms, the hospital said, send for his family. Well, when they said, they don't just say that glibly, do they?
No.
So, as far as they were concerned, time was short. He's fine, he's up, you know. It's the power of prayer. And the power of prayer hasn't changed.
No.
It's the people that have changed. God's not changed. No. Hebrews says he's the same what?
Yesterday, today,
forever. I change not, he said. So if God's made that statement, and we the church, I'd better start believing it. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And what did Jesus do? Well, you read the four Gospels, and Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, fed them.
All that came to him.
He just moved in God's supernatural. And Jesus said, I give you the same keys of the kingdom.
Give you the authority.
Give you the authority. Same authority. So why does the church doubt it? Gets caught up with so many politics, gets caught up with works of good deeds, and don't get me wrong, I'm not against that, you know that. But if that becomes your priority, and you lose the focus of who has saved you, who's delivered you, who's the miracle working person involved in all this, if you think, well, we'll rely on the local authority to provide finance to this, this, and this, the moment they pull the plug on the finance,
you've had it.
It stops. I think what we ought to do is we ought to get that. I think we've still a number of copies of the book of the chap who had the orphanages down in Bath area. Muller, have we not left? George Muller. Autobiography of George Muller. He believed God every day for food to arrive to feed his children, and he had over 100 plus children.
I like to read things like that.
Yeah, and
fabulous, inspirational.
Absolutely amazing that they prayed and believed God. And sometimes, you know, they didn't have it in the morning, they'd pray, and then suddenly there was a knock on the door. Went to the door, there's nobody there.
But food's
there.
Wonderful.
Don't ask me how it's done. The fact is that we operate in faith. And it's through faith that we see the miracles of God working in our lives. It's not through wisdom. It's not through knowledge and revelation. It's through faith.
What do you think of... Sorry, I was going to say John G. Lake. They closed hospitals down because they didn't need them, because they were healing.
Went in and healed them, laid down and healed them, exactly.
I mean, so it must have stopped since then, has it?
No.
No, it
just
well, I mean,
compared with some people.
They said it had stopped before then, haven't they?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, denominations now are even saying that, you know, when the last apostle died, then all healing stopped. Well, I don't think so. Certainly in the last 40 years, 45 years that I've been a Christian, I've seen lots of people being healed.
My healing had stopped, didn't it?
No.
It's still maturing.
It
has stopped.
Bill's hadn't.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, as a group of believers, and I'm not going to say a church because, You know, these words get mixed up these days. They become, the meanings change, I think.
Mm.
Whereas if you say we're a group of believers, a group of disciples, disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus, you can't mix that up.
No.
And we obey his word and we follow the teachings of his word and we follow his example. And we expect to see the signs, the wonders and the miracles.
Absolutely.
And even today, right, the same message that Billy Graham preached in 1950 is still relevant today.
Mm-hmm.
Because that same message is that Jesus saves.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't changed. It didn't change at the year dot after the crucifixion. It was the same message. Mm-hmm. Jesus saves. And it hadn't changed. They were in the year 2000... 2014, aren't we? February 2014. And it still hadn't changed. Jesus saves.
Heals, delivers.
And sets free.
The complete package.
Yeah, the complete package in Christ Jesus. And so the message that's been preached as a gospel message, Jesus saves, is still relevant today.
Well, many instances it's as easier to get your healing as it is to get salvation.
It's
the same faith.
Yeah.
It's the same God that does all of these. So these are the things that we have to begin to just walk into.
You probably saw that message on Harvest Field's Facebook. I think Graham put it on, related from somebody else. That bloke saying, my wife died this afternoon.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, bleeds on brain, and I've lost her, you know. And so that's another one that didn't make it. So not everybody comes through it, do they?
No.
That was his mother.
That was his mother. And you see, in that situation, I know who you're talking about now, yes, because I sent him a message, because I know the young man, because he went to Romania with us. And sadly, his mum, as far as I know, sadly, his mum wasn't a believer. And to some degree, he was a little bit against it, but yet the faith he had in Jesus brought him through from being a drug addict and alcoholic, and he had a bit, he had a going concern as a plumber, he had a business, and he lost it all through his drugs and his alcohol. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it is.
And damaged his health unbelievably.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't know whether she came to the Lord in those last moments of her life. We can only hope and pray that that's what happened. Mm. And pray that Jamie's faith is not rocked by what has just happened. So we don't understand why it don't work for, doesn't happen for everybody. That's, God is the healer. I am not. You are not. Mm. Our responsibility is that we pray.
Yeah, definitely.
And we pray in faith, believing. Don't pray, Lord, if it be thy will.
No.
Because that means you're praying, what you're really saying is, Lord, I don't know what to believe.
Well, it's already done, you see. So if you're doing that, it's not showing faith.
No, exactly. The word says, you know, we are the healed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, we are the healed. Now that healing has to be appropriated into our lives. There are stories where one I can relate, which was written down, was by Kenneth Hagin, and he went to the hospital to pray for somebody, and they'd rung him and said, will you come and pray for my husband, he's dying. So he went and got to the hospital, and they were talking to him, talking to the family, and he was just about to pray, and the Lord said, don't pray, because I'm not going to heal him. And he thought, why? And the Lord said to him, I've healed him twice, and each time he's turned away. He said, so at the moment I've got his soul. He said, I can deal with the body. It's not the body that God wants, he wants the soul. And he says, I've got his soul. He said, I've got the most important thing that matters. Because God, at that point, as far as God was concerned, this man had a lifestyle of getting what he wanted and then sliding away. Getting what he wanted, sliding away. And he'd done it more than once. And so God said, that's it. I've got him now.
Not
I'm not going to let him go by healing him for him to fail again. And so God took him, bringing him home. Now, we might say, well, that's not very nice, is it? But then again, what would you and I think will be the best? If you're condemned to an eternal death and torment, just for a few extra years living in a physical body.
No comparisons.
In reality, there isn't a comparison in it at all. There's no measure, is there, to measure it? We initially would think, oh, that's, it's still hard. It is, it's hard on the family. But it will be even harder on the family to know over those years that if he'd have gone then, he'd have been in the presence of the Lord. But because he's been healed, he's fallen away, and he's lost faith in God and he's died a lost soul.
So what would you have to just forgive me. What would, when he said he'd got his soul, how does that...
Well, he'd come back to faith. He'd come back to faith. He was believing and trusting God at that point in time. But every time God had healed him prior to that, when he came back to faith, he then went and did his own thing again and backslid. And then he got sick again. Because... let me help you with the story. A number of years ago, I met a guy. His name is Ian Andrews. Had a powerful healing ministry, and he was over in Canada ministering, and he was in a Roman Catholic cathedral, I think it was, and he'd ministered a couple of times and nothing was happening. It was absolutely flat. There was no miracles, nothing was happening at all. And so he started to pray and talk to the Lord. He said, Lord, I need a miracle. I need a real, real powerful healing to lift these people's faith. Because they were so downcast and unbelieving. And so God spoke to him and he said, I'm going to send a man to you. And he said, he's going to be on crutches. And when he's on, and he's going to come up on the platform, when he comes up, he says, I want you to push him off his crutches. Just go behind him and just push him off his crutches. Okay, he said, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Fine. So Ian starts ministering and preaching as an altar call for healing, and this guy comes up on crutches. And Ian says, I made the biggest mistake of my life. He said, I said to him, so what's wrong with you? So he began to tell him. He'd been in the army, and a bomb had exploded, and he'd got shrapnel up his spine, and that there was no way could it be removed, and that if he made any sudden movement, it could actually move and it could kill him, totally
so
paralyse him and kill him.
Would have been very terrified to push him, though, wouldn't it?
So yeah, so he hears all this and he thinks,
uh-oh.
And Ian's very matter of fact and practical, and he sort of stands there and he thinks, and God, you tell me, I have now to push him off his crutches. Oh no. You know, I mean, this is now when, you know, this is like, don't ask the question, just pray. So Ian in the end just said, okay, God, here goes. And he pushed this man straight off his crutches. And this man fell forward and started running.
Oh, hey. Oh, man.
And he ran round the auditorium in the end. Totally healed. Shrapnel is very hard, brittle. But at that point in time, the anointing of God came on that man. The shrapnel hadn't been removed, but it had changed in its chemical makeup, because it became flexible and pliable. Right? It hadn't been taken out, there was no shrapnel on the floor, but its chemical structure had been dynamically altered. I just think that is fantastic. This man, 3 years later, backslid, went off with another woman, and the next time Ian saw him, I believe Ian did see him again, he was in a wheelchair. when you and I are in the presence and walk in the presence of God, things happen to us. And something had happened to this man, and it was like the anointing of God was on him. And while the anointing was on him, that shrapnel was flexible, movable, never caused him any problems whatsoever. The moment that he stepped out of his relationship with God, the anointing begins to wane. And that shrapnel no longer is pliable and flexible, and it turns back to its original source and becomes hard and brittle, and it put him in a wheelchair. That's a dynamic story, then. To sort of say to us, if we stay in the presence of God, there is something that goes on that happens to you and me when we enter into the presence of God. I can prove it in the sense that Moses, when he went and met with God, when he came out, the people said, cover your face. Something has happened to you, and we can see it on your face. Yeah. Right? The glory of God. So what I honestly... And when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, his garments, when Moses and Elijah arrived, his garments began to glow. Something supernatural was happening. When there's a person that's dead, for instance, Lazarus in a tomb 3 days, what has happened to his blood in that period of 3 days?
Congealed.
Yeah. What has happened to his brain? They say, what, 15 minutes without oxygen and, hey, that's it, cabbage. And yet, Jesus comes to Lazarus after he's been 3 days in a tomb and says, Lazarus, come on out. Totally opposite to what any doctor or scientist would say. And I know there are non-believers and even unbelievers or believers that would turn around and say, ah, well, it didn't really mean that, you know. Well, that's what I read it meant. And if you start messing with what it says, then every verse of scripture you're going to have to start messing with.
Mm-hmm.
If you mess with one, you're going to have to start messing with them all. If you start bringing doubt and unbelief, you're going to start messing with them all, until in the end the book's not worth the paper it's printed on. Well, it's worth far much more than the paper it's printed on, let me tell you. It changes lives, and you and I have got to realise, and the people who are believers, who are disciples, have got to realise that we enter into the presence of God, and there is something about the glory of God that will come into our lives and will begin to manifest itself, and it will bring healing, it will bring strength, it will bring wisdom, it will begin to fill us full and overflowing.
As I was saying to you on Sunday, I remember when you had your bad back, when you used to be preaching at front. You couldn't preach for hours on end.
Yeah, I mean, when I had those back pains all those years ago, I used to get up on a Sunday afternoon and start preaching, and all my back pain would go. And I loved it. First time all week, I'm out of pain. I'd preach for an hour and a half just to stay out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could preach for 2 hours, I'd preach for 2 hours, because I'm out of pain. Everybody else were in agony, like, but, you know, I were out of pain. And it would last for 4 or 5 hours afterwards. I used to be like, oh, just let me get up and preach, because when I started preaching, I didn't have it. And I used to just look, I said, oh, let me preach. Born to preach, just to get out of pain. But there is something about being in the very presence, when the anointing of the Spirit is upon you, and it begins to work in this physical body, because this body is being, I honestly believe that when the Spirit gets on us, this body is being transformed. It's being transformed. There's a renewing going on. Well, have a look at some of you lot here, you know, you don't look your age. So what's been happening?
Botox
in yourself.
Botox.
Or is it Holy Spirit that's at work, you see? And we all know the answer. It's the Spirit of God. The Word of God that brings life to us. The word tells us, you know, he will renew your youth like the eagles. Amen?
Amen.
So, praise. I just love it when we can just share and believe that God is going to do something great.
What's wonderful, isn't it?
If you don't expect, you don't get it.
Well, that's right. If you don't expect it, you're not going to get it. That's
faith
certainty.
And belief and love is fabulous.
Yeah. Praise God.
Well, I know some of you know this, but probably not all of you. Well, this was a miracle. But me, Joe and Stephen had been out somewhere, and Stephen opened the bolt of the car and slammed it down on Joe's fingers. Now, can you imagine that?
Ow.
And Joe's going, "Oh, where's keys? Where's keys?" Now, our Steve's fumbling, gets keys, open it, and Joe goes in house and is like this. Absolute agony, and there's me and our Steve there, thinking, "Oh, God. They'll be all squashed, we were going to hospital and all that." Anyway, we sat him in room and he was still holding him like that. Got him a cup of tea and that, and he was nearly fainting. And he opened it. There's nothing wrong with him.
Mm.
Now, can you tell me anybody can have the fingers trapped in a boat and there's nothing wrong with it?
To be like that, nearly fainting. It sounds.
You've got to.
They're trapped in a boat, you can't get them out. We couldn't get them out. We say, where's keys? Oh, well, they were in a. Oh, ran to death. Oh, his fingers are going to be smashed.
You've got to bet you've got visions
of
hospital emergency.
Oh, yes. All going round like that. Well, I think I've told you before about it. But not everybody knows about it.
It's good to share it, though.
Oh.
God's bigger than comas.
Well, we better let you preach, haven't we, love?
Well, it's whatever. I'm ready if you want to. It does fit some of it. A lot of it fits.
Good. Just press on into the things of the kingdom, and that is, you know, every one of us as individuals needs to press on into the things of God.
Yeah.
And as we do that, we will see signs, wonders, and miracles. You might think I'm fed up with him saying that. Well, you will get to a point where you believe it. If you don't already believe it, you will believe it.
Like that was mentioned about, but John Wesley went from this, when you're going to shut up in on about being born again, he said, when you were born again.
Absolutely, yeah. That's right, yeah. And I'm going to keep up, I'll keep talking about healing and miracles until we've constantly seen them. Until you see them as individuals.
Absolutely.
Because I believe it.
The devil had took me and was killing me, wasn't he? And then God said, right, get your hands up, or you're not having that.
He said to Job, to the devil, if you can afflict him, but you can't take his
you
life.
You can't take my life, yeah.
No.
Your times are in God's hands.
Absolutely.
Nobody else's.
Yeah. And I like to give him back what he gives me, in a way. That's how I feel. He gave me my life back.
Mm.
And I like to do what I've done, so.
Amen.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
We love it.
It is honouring God as we do these things. And this is why I say to people, I say to you guys, that if God heals you, tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it in church, in particular, to the believers. Build faith, because that's what it does. By you saying this, you prayed for me, and this is what happened, it builds faith.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing you can do is not tell it. The Bible says, the very stones will cry out if you lot keep your mouth shut. So you've got to tell it, and you've got to believe God. Because as you build your own faith, even, as you begin to declare it. And the devil, when he starts hearing you declare what God has done and what God is doing, he gets scared and he starts to leave you alone. Because he knows that you're getting too strong and too powerful for him. And you're going to be equipped for works of service. And you make the choice, not me.
It encourages each other, because on Sunday
exactly.
when I had that lump in me, poorly and stuff, so I had a lump on my tongue, and been there 3 or 4 days, and it weren't shifting. So when we had breaking the bread, well, Lord, your body was broken, so this bread, and I just slapped it on the lump. And Pauline came round, you know, sharing bread. And she says, what's the matter? I says, well, nothing. I says, but I think this lump's going down. And she looked and she says, there's not much to see. And then a bit later, you know, a few minutes later, says, have another look. Oh, it's going down. And now you can't see it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, that in itself is an encouragement, because I went in the service, I could only feel it. I couldn't see what was going on. So it was helpful to me to have it confirmed that it was going down, and it was probably an encouragement to Pauline. Because watching some attacks we happen does something for you as well, doesn't it? You know, and it's like we say, there are other things that have as health issues, and you wonder sometimes, why is that not healed and this is healed? But the main thing is that we don't lose sight of the fact that God is, you know, that Jesus is the healer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't get, because we don't ask.
Yeah.
You know, something will occur, and you pray and you concentrate on it, and other things will occur, and you just accept your doctor's diagnosis. And it's just getting there.
You've got to keep praying and not let the devil in.
Keep believing.
Sometimes we're just
asking and asking. And I had a thought yesterday when I was sort of reading and praying and what have you. And God and Jesus, they're after a bride. They're not looking for a girlfriend. They're looking for a bride. They're looking for intimacy.
Mm.
And we find it so easy sometimes to get sidetracked and do our religious duty and do our reading and our praying and God bless this and God bless that, and he's looking for somebody to spend time with him. And it says we become more intimate with him, but I believe we'll see more happening.
Definitely.
Just turning up with your shopping list, it's not going to cut it. Not looking for a girlfriend, he's looking for a bride. He wants to spend his whole time with you, not just dipping in and out and popping to see you and going out for a night and, you know, goodbye till tomorrow night. He wants to spend his life with you. He wants to be your bridegroom. And that sometimes, for me, that's helped to renew focus again, if you like, because if you're wanting to set up life with a partner, it's different just to dating them. You know, I mean, all you folk that are married know that the relationship that you have with your husbands now or your wives now is a lot different to what you had when you were just dating. It's a closer relationship. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for a real close relationship with us. And when we get that close relationship, and when we commit to being more committed, for want of a better expression, I'm sure we'll see more of these signs and wonders. We'll see more happening. But it's not looking for the things that's happening, it's looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And spending time with him and loving on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that. What you just said there is similar to what I think I said last time I went and did an old share thing. I think I said something about the relationship between a relationship between a man and a wife and is more a decision rather than an emotional occurrence. You know, just let emotion take its course and run freely, there's a good chance you'll be falling out and having rows and ending up in the divorce court. But if you make a decision like, shall I love my wife tomorrow, and you're going to say yes, of course I will. Will I love my husband tomorrow? Of course I will. And you could say that every day of your life, and 40, 50 years on, you still love each other as much as you did when you first met or when you first got married.
Well, it is for over 40 years on now.
It is, yeah.
Mm.
You see, it's when you're born again, you see, because you become, you've got to communicate in the spirit with him, haven't you? You've got to cut out, that's why he says to study the Bible, to read it, and that's how he talks to you, because that's spiritual, that's his way. So you have to cut yourself off from outside worlds, like Alan says, going out and thought, I'll see you tomorrow night, and all this business. Spend as much time as you can with it. And I know you've got duties now, so chores and things like that, that's not what he wants, but if you've got quality time and putting him first, you know, you've got to spend. The thing is, you want to, when you
say it's not that you've got to, it's there's something inside
you don't,
of it.
Yeah, you don't get that feeling, I've got to. If you're saying I've got to, then that's just something wrong. You make time to do it, you want to do it.
Yeah, big difference.
And you make time to do it just as much as you do your household chores, don't you? Just as important, if not more.
Well, I mean, when you look now, as you know, it's like Brazil, Peru, India, Australia, Pakistan, Romania, Bulgaria, and so it goes on. China, and on every day, some of these flags, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whether they're the same people or not, we at this point in time don't know. But they're listening to the word of faith that comes out of your mouth.
Mm.
Right? They're listening to the word of faith that comes out from this body. Okay? We may only be small, but if we preach the word of faith and we teach the word of God, it's not about how big you are, it's about how big is your God. And how much do you place the word in at the preeminence of all that is being done. And it is so important. You know, you can probably go on many church websites and it's all about, a lot of it's about the worship. Videos about the worship and, you know, etc. And the group, video in the group playing and flashing lights and the smoke machines all going on. And then when it comes to the word, it's watered down. I don't want that. I would rather have the word and do without the songs, if necessary. Because the songs won't save me, lest they carry the word of God. If the songs carry the word of God, then they'll save me. But if it's, oh, God bless me, thank you God for blessing me, and, you know, I'm just going to jump and shout and praise your name, doesn't work for me. That's a rave. It's not worship. Worship's honouring, bowing before him, giving him all that is due to his mighty name, and waiting for him to say, arise, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Climb upon my knee and spend time in my presence. You know, Joshua stood outside the tent of meetings. Moses would go back to the camp. Joshua stood there. He waited. He constantly stood before the tent of meetings. That, you know, Joshua became the next man of God because he faithfully stood there when everybody else had left.
Yeah.
He was always there. He was always there. He had a hunger and a thirsting for God from a young man, from a very young age. And God gave it to him when he was 80. You know, it's like, at that age, it's like, I think I'll now take my ease. God says, right, Joshua, now you're going to run this lot. We're going to run a campaign, and we're going to wipe out and take possession of the land. Hang on. Is it time for me to sit back, put my slippers on, and let some of these young lads get on with it? No. Because they didn't know God like Joshua knew God. And you will only get victories. You will only win great campaigns, spiritual campaigns, when you know God. There's no other way. When you know God and he leads you, that's when you'll get a great campaign. praise his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's good to us, isn't he?
He is.
So good to us.
You arrived in time, Ray, because we haven't started yet.
Yes, it's about.
So hot valve was shut. I thought, I've done it again.
No, we're having preamble actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just a warm up.
It has been a long warm up, hasn't it?
It takes a warming up, you won't, then, obviously.
You're
going to miss for a short while, do you?
It's up to you.
God knows what he wants to say, doesn't he? When he wants to say it, he says it.
You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
He'd made his decision. Nailed his colours to the mast. And no matter what went on, he was always going to be there and believe it. And Joshua, he's one of my favourite books. One of my favourite verses in Joshua, it's been prayed over me, it's been prophesied over me. Joshua 1 and verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. We've gone from being courageous, now we've gone to be very courageous. We need to be very courageous. Our faith needs to be moved to that level of being very courageous. I remember bumping into a man who I'd met in a Church of England some year or two earlier, and prayed for him, and God had healed him of a back, and God had put him on the floor, just bang, straight out, God healed him. And I met him in the High Street a couple of years later, and he recognised me, and he said, "Oh, glad to see you." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I've been having a bit of back trouble. Do you think you could pray for me?" So I said, "Yeah, sure." So right in the middle of the High Street, I stand there and I lay hands on him and start praying for him. He stood with his back to the road, and he stood on the edge of the curb, and the power of God started to come down on him, and I could feel him going. And he's going to fall out into the street. And I'm thinking, "Dear Lord, don't do this to me. Please, Lord God, do not do this to me now." So I'm stood there trying to hold him up, you see. I'm praying for him. I managed to hold him up, basically. And after a few minutes, he says, "Wow," he says, "that was powerful." And he said, "Hey, my back pain's all gone." And then off he went and said, "Thanks a lot, bye." Never seen him since. Be strong.
Yeah.
Be courageous. You're not the healers, but he is. All it's about you just saying in faith, I believe, walking in faith. I'm going to trust God to do what he said he will do. And Joshua said, was told by God, be strong, be courageous. And that's today we need, as church people, as disciples of the Lord Jesus, we need to be strong and courageous. We need to be bold about our faith. Not wishy-washy. "Well, I'm not sure if God really means this." Well, find out then. Get into the presence of God. Find out what he is really saying if you're not sure. Wait on God and let him reveal himself and his purposes to you. So that what happens is you are then dealing with your doubts and your fears. Because most of the time, the reason that we do not believe the word of God is because of our doubts and our fears. That's what stops you and I believing. when it comes to praying for people, the devil, if you're not done it very often, the devil will turn around and, you know, he'll whisper in your ear, what happens if it doesn't work? You're going to look a fool, aren't you? No, I'm not going to look a fool. Because I'm not the healer, right? I'm just a vessel carrying something. And there are some cases when you pray for people and they do not receive their healing. I've told you stories of... I had a friend who was on benefits. And he did not want to be healed. Because he knew if he got healed, he'd have to get a job. And yet, for a while, he used to go out for prayer. And then one day he said to me, he told me this, and I said to him, well, don't go out again for prayer, because you're making a mockery of when people have been prayed for, because you never get healed, because you're not going out in faith to receive, you're just going out for a show. So I said, don't go out again, because if you're not going out with an anticipation and a desire to be healed, then what are you going out for? Drawing attention to yourself? Okay, if you want a touch from the Lord, a blessing, fine, but don't go out with a declaration, I want to be healed, because that will destroy faith in other people that are coming into faith and believing God, and they look at a person and say, well, he goes out every time and he's never got healed. When you go out with that desire to be healed, and the presence of God comes over you and touches you, and, wow, it's powerful. But we have to grow in faith. We have to realise that we have to become strong. And we come strong in faith as we spend time in his presence. That's how it works. But you, as the word comes into you, the word fills you with strength.
Yeah.
It's like eating a meal. You've all had your evening meal tonight. And it's put strength into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Eat the word of God, spiritually speaking, and it puts strength into your spirit. And the Bible says the Spirit gives life to this body. Amazing, isn't it? You know, there are people who die and the doctors put on the death certificate heart failure, because they don't know what else to put, because there isn't a reason why this person has died. Their heart just stopped. They weren't sick. There's no heart disease. It just stopped. Why? Because the spirit that generates the life into this very being has been taken. The soulish man, the soul and the spirit have now gone to be its eternal destiny within the presence of the Lord. And this vessel that carries them is now of no use. And the doctors are like, oh, what did he die of? What did she die of? Oh, we'll have to put heart failure. Heart stopped beating. But what makes the heart beat? And scientists will say, well, there are electrical impulses that make the heart trigger its muscles and that. Well, okay. Do it then. It's deeper than that. Much deeper than that. The sensors that they register as electrical impulses come from much deeper than that. They come from the very spirit that God breathed into man and woman at their birth. and he breathed life into them. Adam and Eve, God breathed life into them. Everything was there, but it wasn't working until God himself put the generator in to give it the life that it needed. We're told that the body renews itself every 7 years. There's a renewal process that goes on. Why? We were never designed to die. Never designed to die. Death was never in God's plan.
It was before Adam and Eve, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
They set it rolling.
Yeah, exactly. You know, God didn't say, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to create Adam and Eve and humankind, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put death into them. God is life. Mm-hmm. He's not death. He's the life giver. All life belongs to God. But his heart is not with an intention to destroy life, it's to give life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't come along and say, I've come to sign your death warrants. Did he? He came and said, I've come to give you life. Oh, you know, you could turn and say, but Jesus, I'm already living. No, you're not. You're existing.
No.
But I've come to give you life, and life eternal, you see. So you and I have to realise that God wants to take us all to another level. And you might say, well, at my age, God's not interested in how old you are. He's interested in what's inside your heart, your spirit. How strong is that desire?
Caleb never lost it.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb with Joshua, he never lost his desire. When he got into the promised land, he'd been promised by Moses the high ground, the mountainous area, the hilly area. He's 80-something. He walks in there, he says, right, I want my high ground. It's been promised to me. And he went and took it.
He says, I'm just as strong now as I was at 40.
Yeah. 40 years on, he says, I'm still as strong as I was then, so come on, bring it on. And he went and took it.
Because Moses was 80, wasn't he? Yeah. When he, you know, you think about that age like that and what he did.
Yeah. So, I don't know, some people say, I've heard people say, they counted days and years differently. Here we go. You know, the old brain's going to work it out and reason out God, you see. It's going to make it a lie by the time they've done, so that they can justify that what they don't believe in is true, etc. But the word of God stays true.
Amen.
God's not a man that he should lie.
No.
And when Jesus came, Jesus said, I choose to lay down my life. Nobody can take it. No man could take it. No king could take it. No demon could take it. The devil himself, Satan himself, could not take it. Jesus made the decision when he saw you and me right through eternity. And he looked at you and me and he said, I'm doing it for you. Because you will need a saviour. You will need a healer. So I'm doing it for you. I mean, Graham, when he had that terrible accident, God kept him when he went had to go through that dreadful operation. And the presence of God was with him all the way. How he got back to the depot from where he had the accident is it could have only been God that kept him and strengthened him and took him through.
Never heard that story,
Graham. No, well, I can tell you another night.
Time's
dashed on, but it's a story. And it's a story that you just think, wow. I know Graham. I've known Graham for too many years. In reality, as I said, there's no way could he do that. In the natural. But I tell you, when you've got the presence of God and you've got ministering angels around you, don't underestimate what you can do. Don't underestimate what you can do. One of David's mighty men. He slayed the Philistines. He had this spear in his hand, and he spent all day slaying Philistines. I think it was over 300 men. And by the time he'd done, the spear was literally welded in his hand. He'd got such a grip of it, he couldn't release it. Shamgar.
Yeah.
Oh, you had an ox goad, weren't you? That's right. I just forgot his name just a fun. But he slayed, and just the battle that went on.
He went down the highway, which you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah.
They destroyed the Philistines.
But the power of God working through one man. Samson, jawbone of an ass. Wasn't Samson, wasn't the jawbone. It was God working through him. By faith you can do things that you are not in the natural capable of doing. I'll say that again. By faith you are capable of doing things that in the natural you are not capable of doing. But when the faith, the power of God comes on you, you can do things beyond your normal abilities. We have to let God begin to move and flow through us. We have to believe that God wants to do this. You see, God has only your hands and your feet and your mouth to reach out to people. And he wants to use you. God wants you and himself to be in partnership. This relationship, you know, this marriage relationship, it's a partnership. It's not one-sided. And God will go with us and take us through difficult situations and bring us into victory. And his word is, be strong and be courageous.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of the faces.
Well, you hear of people, you know, they've had accidents and all of a sudden people become strong, they can lift a car up to release people.
Yeah.
That's God, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Giving them strength.
Yeah.
And what faith have you got when that,
you know,
that's what it's called, faith, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You can do, move.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Faith.
Amazing how strong you are.
Faith will move mountains.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Whatever standing, what is the mountain that stands in your way?
Yeah.
Apply faith to it.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to do. What is the mountain that is standing in your way? Start applying faith to it. Rub it all over with faith. Apply the word of God to it.
Just speak to the mountain.
That's right. The word of God. Speak to the mountain. You have to do it by faith.
You know,
and watch it disappear.
I've got to share this because one of the first scriptures, apart from that one, what is it, Grace? and for a lot of covers. Apart from that one, what he made me, what he told me to memorise was, who should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And I've always remembered that, and that's been one of my favourite, you know, it's my favourite.
Mm.
So it's that, you know, first two scriptures I ever learned off by heart, you know. And strong, well, they're all strong, but.
In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this is. It's not a secret. You could call it a key, or you could call it the simple way that Joshua was strengthened and taken forward for the rest of his life in obedience to God. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous." Did you take a note of that? "Then you shall make your way prosperous." So often we pray, "God, do this for me. God, do that for me." No. Spend time in his word. Spend time in his presence. And you will make your way prosperous. You will do it. Because you have been in that word. You have been equipped to do this. And then you will have success. Verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Amen.
Wow. That's why they can say, "I'll never leave you, and I will never forsake you." And Joshua had that from God. It's the Lord speaking to him and encouraging him. "He'll never leave us, never forsake us. Don't tremble, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Trust the word and let the word work in your life. And we will see healings. We will see deliverances. We will see circumstances and situations change. And God will do it. We'll see miracles as we trust God."
Mm.
I want us to be able to see miracles that are beyond man's understanding. Something happens beyond a man's understanding, beyond a way that any way that a man could manipulate and do things.
Like the Red Sea.
Like the Red Sea. That'll do, yeah. Like, just like the Red Sea opening up.
Oh, like that when Smith would grow, the feet grew and there were no feet. That'd be fantastic.
There you go, yeah. A man had no feet and Smith prayed for him and said, "Right, now go to a shoe shop and buy some shoes." He says, "What size do you want? Decide what size and what colour you want and go to the shoe shop and put your legs into them shoes." And he did.
Yeah.
And before the shop assistant's eyes, his feet grew. That is my God. That's the God I serve. That's the God who I believe in. And no, I have no idea how he did it. But I do know this, it tells me who he is right at the very beginning of the Bible, that he's the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he created all things out of nothing, then a pair of feet,
there's nothing.
You know, it's nothing to God.
No.
When you look at the world and the universe and he created all of that, what's a pair of feet? I'm not trying to be blasé, but I really think that this year we're moving towards something very special, and we need to keep pressing in.
Mm.
to this. Because I've noticed as each and every one of you, your faith is rising steadily to different levels. And we have to keep allowing it to rise. And we push our boundaries. We push the frontiers. You know, you're a bit like the settlers of the Americas when they got over there. They landed on the coast, and some of them lived just in the coastal areas, but some of them decided, I wonder what's over that hill. I wonder what's over that next hill. I wonder what's over that mountain range. And they kept pushing the boundaries. Pushing the boundaries. And in the same way, in the realm of the Spirit, in the Word of God, we keep pushing the boundaries. We push them for us. We're not pushing God. God's already made it out there. It's like the Americas, it was already there. But nobody knew what was there. But it was already there. And God has already placed it there. And he's saying, come on, man. Are you going to be a pioneer? Are you going to be an adventurer? Are you going to come over this next hill and climb it up it and see what's, just have a look over the other side and see what's there?
That's what's fading a little bit in the modern society, the pioneering spirit that we used to have. People are too easy to say, I can't, and throw the towel in right before they've even started.
Yeah.
There was a time when we used to have a go at it. I'm going to do this.
I love to have a go at something.
It's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, I love to have a go at something.
I don't say I can't.
No.
No such a word as can't.
No, there isn't.
I was just thinking that.
Is it faith comes in cans, not can'ts? That's what you've got to say, isn't it?
All I ever heard from this one is, it's not going to beat me.
Exactly.
Yeah, just never give up, you know. No. And people say, oh, if you can't do it, leave it. I said, no, we're not leaving it.
No.
That didn't work, so we're going to try something else. We're going to keep going until we do it.
I'll tell you a quick story, and that we'll better finish really. The man who raised the company Otis Lifts, he also was involved in building power stations. He had a company that built power stations in the US, and they had a power station that was due to come online. This is in one of his books he wrote. And every time they tried to test run the power station, something blew out. All his top engineers were there, and nobody could find the problem. And the deadline was looming. And the deadline, once that happened, it meant penalties, financial penalties that he had to pay back out of this project, which was a lot of money. So he started asking, and he was a Christian, so he started to ask the Lord and to pray. And he got a flight and he got on a plane and he was flying across to the town, the city where this power station was. And whilst he was on the plane, he was praying. And God told him exactly what the problem was. So he landed and he said, take me straight to the power station, take me to the place. Took him there and said, okay. And he said to the top engineer, have you found the problem yet? He said, no, I haven't. And Otis said, well, I want you to go to this part of the electrical circuit system and I want you to change this in the system. And the engineer looked at him and said, well, that's not going to do anything. He said, do as I've asked you. They went, changed that part of the system, threw the switch, and it worked. The engineer was astounded. God's the scientist, by the way. Okay, we're still the technicians. We're still on the course, still training. God is the scientist. He knows how things work before they're even invented. So, if you want some answers, ask God. Ask God.
I heard it this morning that when you get out of bed, the devil will speak to you and God will speak to you. So you'll speak to the devil and you'll speak to God. Talk to the devil about God with faith.
Absolutely.
And he'll go.
Absolutely. The moment that you start speaking the word of God to your enemy, the devil, he says he flees from you. And that's what we are to do.
I was going to say a similar thing about when in the army, in the war, when America, they were losing that many ships and they decided to build them, they were building them upside down. When they put them in water, the nuts and things used to blow or something. So that this man went to ask God about it and he told them what to do and they were all right. Yeah. They were building them really quicker, that's what they wanted them quick. They couldn't wait for times. Mm-hmm. And God told them the answer there. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Of course, God's to give us all the knowledge to make things anyway. So.
Well, the Bible says all wisdom and all knowledge comes from God. So if you don't have the answer, ask God. You have not because you
ask
not.
Not.
So, praise the Lord.
Can I say one thing?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If you think you're old, Noah was 500. When God told him to build the ark.
Oh, I've got a lot of that.
And it took him 100 years to build it. And he was 600 years old when he went in.
We're babies, aren't we?
I was saying today, you're never too old to start again, Sheva. Okay, if you're 102, get started. Times today.
No, I've read that today as well somewhere.
And Joyce said it today, so I don't know when.
Yeah, it's reminded me that, Joe.
You know, it's better to be busy burning for God and to burn out for God than it is to be snuffed out.
I don't want to be snuffed out.
By the cares of this world and by worry. By doubt and fear and unbelief. Because that's what fear and unbelief will do. It will snuff out your light. Let your desire and your passion keep pumping for God. I have come that you might have life.
Abundantly.
Yes, more abundantly. Yes, an abundant life. So, and there's an exciting life available to us.
The best is yet to come.
Amen, the best is yet to be.
Amen.
And we're planning, you know, I mean, at the moment we're planning a trip to Romania in May. And then working on a project of going out to South Africa, possibly in September. And just believing God, and God just starting to open doors. I spoke, you know, I told you about this lady, a friend of ours in the States who's got product. But I spoke to her today on the telephone and she said to me, Andrew, I must have 50,000 items over here. I said, you're joking. And she said to me, I've made all my money on them, I've covered the costs of it. And it's fine. She says, and I saw what you were doing, and I just thought, I want to be part of that. I want to bless you. So I said, well, whatever you want to do, just send some things across and we'll start working. And she said, if you need some more, I'll send you some more. Gossip the gospel. It's all I've done. We've known this lady now for 25 years. We actually met her at a show and then we took time out a few days later and we travelled, I don't know, 400 or 500 miles, didn't we, by car, and we went to see her at a studio. And because we did that, that was it. We developed a relationship and we were in business together. And it was because of that she came with us, because we took the time to develop the relationship, not the business. She's a wonderful person. She's the one who designs those calendars you've all had. Gretchen. She's a wonderful lady.
They are nice.
She's a wonderful woman. And she's had some tragedies in her life. But, you know, she's still saying to me today, I'm believing God on healing. I'm believing God for all these things, you know. Why is the church not believing? I said, I don't know. But he's coming for a glorious bride. He's coming for a bride that believes and trusts, that's into signs, wonders and miracles.
Amen.
Because the two are going to walk together. And two can't walk together unless they agree. Hey, that fit. That
yeah,
gate
works.
I've never seen that before. Hallelujah. The bride and the bridegroom have got to agree on doctrine.
Yes.
Right. They've got to agree with Jesus,
right,
not ask Jesus to agree with them.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Glory to God. Mm. Hallelujah. Well, that was a great word.
It was.
Well,
God obviously had other plans.
Great message, yeah.
Well said, Grace.
You
didn't
talk back to it,
did
you? No. I must admit, I was tired when I came. I'm not tired now. Like, you know, I'm ready to go pump iron now.
Well, it's like you with your notes, isn't it? On Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Come on, prepared, and then God knows what's